Welcome to the party, pal. I'm looking at you, Tommy.
Welcome to the party, pal.
When I asked Tommy where he was when the music started and I did not see him, his response was... Chaos this morning. What's going on? That's good for the program. All right, welcome to the show. Is it me or is today hump day?
It's out here, cuz.
All day long. All right, so we are wide bleeping open to start the program off. I've got two very good interviews, but they are not until hour number three, which means you should drive that truck right through that open door, that open window. Take advantage of it. We're here. We're ready. Let's get it. Your telephone number is 1-800-636-8686. If you're wondering what it looks like here in our box, we are still preparing for our launch on X. That is still happening. We are getting closer. I will keep you dialed in. Right now, Mystery Mike is extremely mysterious. I don't see him, Tommy. I see you. I see Alvy. I know M Squared is working somewhere. I just don't see him, but I know he's grinding. Mystery Mike is one of us. Soon you will meet Mystery Mike, just like soon we will launch on X as part of our streaming platform. But between now and then, we are old school audio. You can't see me, but I got to be honest. Ever since we made the switch and started to build the X platform out, I've been going old school cans every bleeping day, just so you know. All right, so we'll get to lots of things. We are now a sleep away from the draft. So I've got opening thoughts on that, and I've got another big-time draft prospect coming up later on. What I want to do, though, is start with your telephone number, and most of all, I want you to use that telephone number. Use it to make it better. Yesterday, we actually had a couple of first-timers. I like that. That encouraged me. 1-800-636-8686. Man, take a chance. The biggest risk is in taking no risk at all. For life. For life. For life. But I mean, also for the program. For life. Man, what is the worst thing that could happen? So you get mocked by America. Happens to us all. Me, you, everybody. Get on the damn phone. That's what it's there for. Stop doom scrolling. Stop wasting your time. Pick up the phone. Hit the digits. Get on the air. Participate. 1-800-636-8686. Speaking of the X platform, hit me up at Jim Rome, R-O-M-E. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. All right, so the first 2 hours are open, and then strangely, we go back-to-back at the top of hour number three. Denver Nuggets guard, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. KCP, top of hour three. No rhyme intended. How about this? It's kind of wild. You hear so much about Marvin Harrison Jr., and you hear so much about that incredible wide receiver class. I mean, I'm not convinced that the top guy in the class might not be Rome Odunze. And I'm not saying it because we have the same name. How weird is that? I can tell you straight up, I have never interviewed, I don't know if I've ever spoken to, yeah, probably I have. There's a couple of others. But I don't know that I've ever interviewed somebody on this program with the name Rome. I got to think that Rome, I could be wrong, because I think there is a reporter or two that has Rome in its name. I don't know that Rome has been interviewed by Rome. And what if my parents named me Rome? Then I'd be Rome Rome. The best thing ever. Anyway, great player. Anxious to talk to him. I know that he won't be as fascinated by that whole concept as I am. But Rome Odunze, former Husky star, joins me at 11:20. Got an ATP. Coming up later on today, the Jim Rome Podcast, episode 311 with Big Wit, Andrew Whitworth. Andrew Whitworth, to me, is fast becoming one of the great communicators in all of sports media. Like, that good. I can remember when I first started to talk to... I mean, I don't even know if I could find a comparison. The guy is communicating brilliantly, and he's got takes, he's got insights. He's so good anecdotally. You know, just listen. It's really, really good. How do I know I've already done it? We'll push that out after the program. Kurt Warner was the guy who came to mind. When I used to speak to Kurt Warner when he played, I'm like, this guy speaks almost perfectly. Perfect thoughts, extremely well-spoken, and I hadn't really seen anybody that smooth and that polished. I'm telling you, wit is moving into that category. So you want to look for that. That is a really, really good podcast. And we didn't just talk topical items either. We talk life. We talked approach. We talk process. It's a really good conversation. All right. So with all that in mind, I always mention Wednesday's big day, and today is no different, especially given the fact that it is draft day eve. We finally made it. We made it to draft day eve, which also means we are in the height of silly season. Stupid season, moron season, imbecile season,
stupid,
a-hole season,
you're a moron,
smokescreen season, whatever you want to call it. We are knee deep in that bullcrap right now. And right now, nobody is catching more strays than the presumptive number one overall pick, Caleb Williams. Listen, everybody's known this dude was going to go first for at least a year now, maybe more. But suddenly now, in the final hours before the draft, there are red flags flying everywhere you look. Suddenly, everybody has something to say about this dude. That's right, red flags! Suddenly, everybody has something to say about this dude, and none of it's good. Everybody has something to say about this dude, except for the GM with the first pick. In other words, everybody except the only guy that really matters, who is just waiting to sprint to his Caleb Williams draft card tomorrow night. This is why I couldn't give a damn about everybody else's red flags and everybody else's lava takes. The only people who care less about the red flags and lava takes than me are the Bears. You know, the only ones who matter, the ones who have the pick. Listen, I think that Caleb Williams is a mega talent. However, I'm not here to guarantee anything, because nothing is guaranteed when it comes to the draft. Certainly nothing is guaranteed when it comes to drafting franchise quarterbacks. And most of all, nothing is guaranteed when we're talking about a potential Bears franchise quarterback. Nothing is guaranteed. Nothing except the fact that this dude's going to go first overall. That much we know. That's a lock. However, that is not stopping anonymous. Let me reference that and hammer that home. Anonymous hot take artists around the league. And yes, you find them also in the NFL. That's not stopping anonymous hot take artists who are too cowardly to put their name to any of it from talking a bunch of crap about this guy anyway.
Cowards.
Scared cowards. As an example, my guy Bruce Feldman put out his annual piece in The Athletic explaining that, quote, multiple coaches and scouts are questioning his readiness as a person, not a player.
Scared
end
coward.
Of quote. Damning much. Questioning his readiness as a person, not a player. Yeah, at least that's not personal. I'm going to bet that none of the coaches or scouts that anonymously are questioning him and his readiness as a person, not a player, actually work for the team that's going to select him first. I'd be willing to bet that if any of those coaches or scouts were in fact sitting on the number one pick, they would have absolutely no problem deciding who to use that pick on. The guy that the team that actually does have the number one pick is using it. And they're using it on Caleb Williams. But we don't know for sure who these other coaches and scouts actually work for, because all these people spewing all this lava are all anonymous. I'd respect it so much more if they put their name to it. Just stand by it. What do you get out of that? Anonymous sources questioning this dude's readiness as a person, not a player. Yeah, that doesn't sound sketchy. That doesn't sound personal at all. Meantime, these anonymous tough talkers who will not put their name to it also say they're, quote, not sure about the wiring, end of quote. They're not sure, quote, how motivated he is to just win, end of quote. Still another said he, quote, gives off a Russell Wilson vibe. And here's another one, quote, lacks self-awareness. Keep in mind, not one person put their name to any of that crap. And maybe it's true. But if so, put your damn name to it. Cowards. A Russell Wilson vibe.
It's time for y'all to go to bed.
I mean, come on. Why not compare the guy to Jamarcus Russell while you're at it?
Jamarcus Russell.
I mean, that's how you're going to do this, dude. We're going to comp him to Russet. You're going
to
say he's throwing off sack of potato vibes.
Like a sack of potatoes.
Listen, what vibe has Caleb put out there that compares to Russet dropping catchphrases like Broncos country, let's ride.
Broncos country.
Or claiming to do calisthenics on team flights overseas. Or creepily posting, hey, Seattle, from his bed.
We got a deal.
And filming the cringiest sandwich commercials ever made. And yes, that even includes the ones starring Jared the Molester. Now, I'm serious now. What is the huge offense that Caleb has committed to have all this bullcrap being hurled in his direction right before the draft? He paints his nails. He's got a pink phone case or a clear phone case. Pink phone, clear case. Pink phone, clear case. Pink case, clear phone, whatever. Pink case, clear phone, black fingernails, whatever. Getting emotional with his family after losing a game to knock USC out of Pac-12 contention. Y'all got to make up your mind on that one. Is he not motivated enough to win? Or does the crying with his family show that he cares too much and he can't handle it? Which is it, haters? In fact, don't answer that because I don't give a damn. And the Bears clearly don't care. So does it really matter at all? The crying incident, apparently, though, is such an issue to some. It led to this viral take from the Pablo Torre Finds Out podcast. Check this out.
And I will tell you, he scares the shit out of a lot of NFL teams, too. The book on him is he's just kind of a weird kid. One GM told me it's like if Prince played quarterback.
It's like if Prince played quarterback?
Prince played quarterback.
That's the take. That's what we're afraid of. That really came from an NFL GM. And that GM was positioning that as a bad thing. It's like if Prince played quarterback. You know that GM just dropped the mic on that like, dang, man. It's like roasted. It's like if Prince played QB. Let me tell you something. Am I the only one that thinks that that actually would be a good thing? A cool thing? If Caleb brings even a fraction of Prince's talent and star power and electricity and it to the NFL, man, he'll be just fine. He'll be more than just fine. He'll be an icon like Prince. Did we all forget the way Prince was snatching souls on the court as a hooper? Did we all forget that Prince showed up to play the Super Bowl and upstaged the actual game? That's your negative comp? Anonymous GM, that's you trying to roast the guy that it would be like Prince playing football? Listen, I know it's stupid season, but that is stupid even for stupid season. Yes, the dude's a little bit different. Yes, you could even say he's a little bit weird. But you know what I always say? Weird is good. So is different. Different is good, too, especially if we're talking about a potential franchise quarterback. You need a little different in that role, and especially in that town where it's going to be tough. You can't be just another ordinary dude. We'll see what happens when he gets to Chicago, But we know he's going to get to Chicago because the Bears don't give a crap about any of this noise, and neither do I. In fact, I can't wait to go see, quote, Prince play quarterback in Chicago. I'm here for it. I'm all about it. Honestly, how great would it be if he showed up to his Bears intro presser and he told the long-suffering Chicago fans, no need to worry, no need to cry, I'm your Messiah, and you're the reason why. No need to worry. I would die for you. I would die for you. Wouldn't that be great? Or if he broke out that pink phone and just hit play. It'd be one of the greatest press conference moments in NFL history. These people have been waiting 70 years for a franchise quarterback. Imagine if their number one pick blows in a town like that. And then imagine after that, he sits in his locker and tells the Chicago media, baby, I'm a star. And then they ask him, Caleb, how many yards are you aiming to rack up in your career? And he hits him with 777, 9311. Bid him for a gold jacket, man. 777, 9311. That's a lot of yards, yo. That's a lot of yards, 777, 9311. Be incredible. This dude could take the Bears to the Super Bowl and perform at halftime. I don't think that's ever happened. I don't ever remember Baconface picking up a guitar at halftime. And then he could even change his name to a symbol halfway through his career and make us all call him the quarterback formerly known as Caleb Williams. Then turn around and change his name back to Caleb Williams. Prince as an NFL quarterback sounds like the coolest thing ever. That anonymous lava spewer thought that was the biggest roast ever. I mean, dude, it's like such a compliment. If that's the best knock that the haters can come up with in bullcrap season, then they're clearly grasping for bullcrap to sling this time around. How do you not have something better to do? Just watch what the team with the first pick does tomorrow night. And if they don't care about any of that noise, I don't either. Especially because I've heard plenty of the opposite from people who actually will put their name to it. People who actually have pride. People who actually have spent time with the dude. That's another thing. Part of these anonymous dudes are like, hey man, I don't know the dude from Adam, but I haven't really spent any time with this guy, but I saw him crying with his family. What about the people that have spent time with him? Hey man, I've never once met the kid, but I saw him rocking nail polish. Yeah, but what if you have met the guy? What if you go way back with the guy? What if you've known the guy for years? What if you have worked on the guy's craft with the guy? What if you're the best quarterback coach there is? What if you're like Lincoln Riley? Or what if you're like Jordan Palmer? I talked to Jordan Palmer about Caleb Williams a number of weeks back. He knows him. He's worked with him. Nobody knows the mechanics of that position better than Jordan Palmer. This is what he had to say about Caleb Williams.
He said, like, my goal is to be, I think what was the word he used? It was strong. I think he said, my goal is to be legendary. I play the game to be, no, I play the game to be immortal. And I go, whoa, that's a big word. But I've known him since he was a junior in high school. He is, dude. And like, honestly, civilians like you and I might think that's crazy. But the other guys who play like that think they're the best player in the game, and they're trying to prove it. There's a handful of them every year. Those guys don't think like civilians. You know, they're not satisfied with success. And so with Caleb, when he said on my podcast he wanted to be immortal, I don't know. I'm just translating that into a different way of saying it, like be the best athlete ever. And he's off to a hot start.
You see, we civilians and these haters just don't get guys like that. They're thinking and operating on a different level. Back to this whole Prince analogy, like that was some sort of crackback. You know, Prince's best performances were in bad weather. Like, Prince transcended the genre, right? Not only was Prince worshipped by those in the genre, but those outside the genre. Athletes, entertainers. Like, you're going to call that guy Prince and think that's a bad thing? You think some rain or snow is going to affect his head? If I'm the owner of the Vikings and Prince is on the board, I would give away this year's whole draft stock and the next decade for that guy. I wish an anonymous critic would say, watching my show or listening to my show was like Prince playing radio host. Then I would know that I'm the coolest, baddest dude on the planet. I'd have a studio full of super attractive dancers. I'd probably have to go with way more purple. I'd have to get more eclectic with it. Get with David August to rework my wardrobe. But he would. Then there'd be a bunch of groupies hanging outside the studio. We'd have to beef up security here to make sure that all the beautiful people were no longer throwing themselves at my feet. Maybe fix my hair. Hey, you know what? You want to sink a guy's draft stock? You want to come at a guy? You want to crack a guy? You want to hate on a guy? You want to sink a guy's stock? Call Drake May Nickelback. Look at this photograph. Every time I do, I'm not even singling out Drake May. I'm just saying, you know, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, whoever. If an anonymous talking head or an anonymous scout or an anonymous GM is saying, hey, man, I don't know, dude, I'd be really afraid about Drake May being Nickelback. Now, that's a roast job. I might take pause if I heard that, but not Prince. I like Drake May. I like all the quarterbacks this year. I had Bo Nix on yesterday, but if somebody said, yo, man, I don't know, dude. When I watch him, he reminds me of Nickelback. When I see him in the pocket, I think Nickelback. I don't think quarterback. I think Nickelback. And I don't mean Nickelback like a Nickelback in the secondary. I mean like the band. I'm definitely not. That's a red flag. I'm definitely not taking the guy then. Or like saying, for instance, Michael Penix is like Axl Rose playing quarterback. You know, what does that tell you? He's going to get super fat.
Fat?
Flake on every single meeting. Be an a-hole diva to everybody in the huddle and the building. And then walk off the field if he just doesn't feel like it. Or doesn't like a play call. Or isn't in it. And then in the post-game, reporters will ask, Axel, I mean, Penix, why did you leave the field? Why did I leave the field? Why did I leave the field? Because the coach told me to take a shun-a-na-na-na-na-na-na-knee. I dare you. Find me a better open. Find me a better analysis of bullcrap season than what you just got. 24 minutes of it. Find me a better analysis of bullcrap season. Listen, I'm not guaranteeing this guy's going right to the Hall of Fame. What I am guaranteeing is he will go number one, and that there's a whole lot of bullcrap being slung by a bunch of cowardly, anonymous people that have nothing better to do. They probably haven't spent any time with the guy at all. It doesn't impact them at all anyway. They don't have the number one pick. What do you care? 1-800-636-8686. In addition to that, I've got an NBA whip coming up. What do you know? Maybe it's the Mavs who are the biggest threat to the Nuggets. Maybe the Clippers are going to bomb out after all. Hey, Reggie Bush got his Heisman back. About damn time. Hip, hip. What, are we going to wait for that guy to die before you gave him back his Heisman? Why did you take it in the first place? Got thoughts on that, too. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, top of hour 3. Rome Odunze, 11-20. Hey, Avi, I want you to think about a prize pick. Not now, but maybe in hour number three. Because Prize Picks is America's number one fantasy sports app with over 3 million active members. All you do is pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections, then watch the winnings roll in. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. Get in on the playoff action, win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks as you and the world's best players take the game to a new level during basketball's postseason. Prize Picks also offers weekly promotions and special offers for the biggest moments in sports. Prize Picks offers Apple Pay as well for quick and easy deposits into your account. And this basketball season, I love Prize Picks. You will too. So download that app right now. Use my code ROME, R-O-M-E, for a first deposit match of up to $100. That's code ROME on Prize Picks for a deposit match of up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It is that easy. You do have to be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Okay, so that's what I'd expect. Some great reaction to a great opening take. Haunted 00 Horse. Jim, first it's pink phones. Then the next thing you know, Caleb Williams is wearing a raspberry beret. Signed Anonymous GMs. At DLH 1029. Yeah, Rome. There won't be no controversy with Caleb as the Bears' starting quarterback. Yeah, nor no appropriate grammar either. Yeah, 1 for 3, C1. Quote, that J.J. McCarthy is like Daryl Hall, and I hate that Hall guy. Signed, John Oates. At Squirrel 2, the fact that these prognosticators and draft analysts are not putting their name to the Caleb Williams claims is below not good. Yours, Charlie Casserly.
Below not good. Not good.
Casserly at least put his name all over this evisceration. Jamie in Green Bay, quote, any chance these anonymous scouts are from Washington or New England hoping Chicago might be dumb enough to let Caleb fall down to them? That I'd even get. I mean, that's got to be possible. At King Curtis 620. Hey, at Jim Rome, tell anonymous GM to keep Prince's name out his damn mouth.
Keep my name out your mouth.
At DC Shaky, 777-9311 is Morris Day and the time. He and Prince went to high school together. Similar sound, but different bands. No reason to let the fact ruin a good bit, though. Carry on. My reaction to that is, while technically true, if I'm not mistaken, it was written and produced for the time by Prince in Prince's home studio. Nice attempt at clarification. Carry on. Come on, man. You're going to rip that from Prince. He wrote it. He produced it. He produced it in his own home studio. Is that not enough to give him credit? Or it? For being a Prince song? He wrote it. He produced it. Hey, Jim, as a fellow gaucho but lifelong Trojan fan, I have watched all of Caleb's games, and I have never seen somebody more talented. I agree with you. Caleb will bring the Lombardi back to Chi-Town. The people talking crap about him are all the ones who don't have a shot at drafting him. Best, Michael R. I didn't say that. I didn't say that he would bring a Lombardi back to Chi-Town. I said those other things. I said, I don't give a damn about all these people who, A, are too cowardly to put their name to what they're saying, and B, have no shot at drafting him anyway. Cowards. Stuck now caught me on this one. You've interviewed Logan Rome. That counts.
Rogan Lowe.
That's true, I did. No, I mean, I did say I've never interviewed anybody named Rome, I don't think. I think what I said was I've never interviewed anybody named Rome that's not in my family. And one more at Cell Breeze. Rome Dome. Can't wait to listen to Big Wit on your pod. As a lifetime Bengals fan, I love this dude. Had he been in Cincy a few years ago, we would have a chip. But I'm stoked that he got a ring, wore Big Wit, wore the XR4TI, Unwar Anonymous out. You know, one more thing about the Big Wit conversation. I touched on this, but understand it's a different sort of conversation. It's not just me like, hey, Wit, what do you think is going to happen at the second pick? Hey, Wit, what do you think Denver's plan is at quarterback now that they brought in the Kook Hunter? Well, we had a bigger kind of conversation than that. I just find the guy very, very, very interesting. So I just kind of followed him around. And he told great stories. Wit is, like, tremendous anecdotally. All right, so let's get a break in here. So far, so good. Just get up on the phones now. The written clones are doing a great job. Let's see if we can match that on the phones. Gas, groceries, utilities, you name it. The price of everything is going up, and if you are stuck in a bad timeshare with rising maintenance fees, the financial burden can be crushing. It is time to get your finances in order and get the real facts about that timeshare that you're stuck in and what your options are for getting rid of it. Chuck McDowell, founder of Wesley Financial Group, has been helping families that have terrible timeshares for over a decade now and has put together a complete timeshare exit information kit that he will send you absolutely free. To date, over 30,000 families have trusted Wesley Financial Group to help them out of financial hardship by getting them out of bad timeshares, and they might be able to help you too. To get the facts about how the timeshare industry works and your options for cancellation, simply call Wesley right now for your free timeshare exit kit and see how you can become timeshare free. Call 800-462-3333, 800-462-3333, 800-462-3333.
3333. Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on the Infinity Sports Network.
There, think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. So Jamie sends this in. Reggie, as in Reggie Bush, Reggie gets his Heisman back and it didn't even land him in jail. Signed, The Juice. You know why? Reggie did not break into a hotel room and hold some dudes up at gunpoint in order to get his Heisman back. He just lobbied for it and pushed for it. It didn't involve use of a gun or breaking and entering. That's why. That particular incident sounded like this.
There's nobody out this room hanging. And you can steal my don't let nobody out of here. You can steal my
Imagine the juice accusing somebody else of stealing his stuff. Nobody can steal my stuff. Nobody's going anywhere. That's how he got his back. There's a difference between that and how Reggie Bush went about getting his back. Just so we never forget, not that we could ever forget anything relating to the juice, but this is how it sounded when he tried to, quote, retrieve memorabilia that he believed belonged to him. He didn't ask for it back. He didn't buy it back. He didn't try to reason with them. He broke in and made sure that, one, everybody in that room knew nobody can steal my bleep, and two, none of you are going anywhere.
I'm gonna let nobody out of this room. You can steal my
And notice it's Orenthal running that whole thing. That he didn't roll in there with some muscle. Like, he was calling the shots. He was quarterbacking that thing. And then you hear some terrified guy going, yo, 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 juice, it was Mike. It was Mike. Mike took it. Mike took it. It wasn't me. That dude rolled on his boy Mike so fast. In other words, Mike took it. Take his head off his shoulders, not mine. It was Mike. It was Mike. Meantime, Reggie Bush is trying to get his Heisman Trophy back. Orenthal still had his. Incredible. So Orenthal was still bragging in recent years that he had a vote. He was still voting for other Heisman Trophy winners. So here's Reggie Bush back in the day. And he's got an agent. And his agent sets his family up in an upgraded house. So they rip his hardware. And again, when you rip the hardware, you rip everything that comes along with being a Heisman Trophy winner. You know, you don't get to show up for the show. You don't get to vote. You don't get to be a part of that fraternity. Never mind that Reggie Bush was, you know, frankly, honestly, probably as good as any player in the season that won the Heisman in any year. Like, he was him. He was that guy. That guy lost all of those benefits, all of those privileges, and the hardware itself. But not juice. He got to keep his. And he got to continue to vote. Now, as part of the Goldman settlement, he had to sell it. But the Heisman Trust did not rip his hardware from him the way it did Reggie Bush. So Bush has been without this entire time. And then finally, when NIL kicked in, then he really stepped it up. Like, well, wait a minute. I don't have mine because of impermissible benefits, because I got, I don't know, things that you weren't supposed to get. Never mind that he was far from the only guy getting things that you were not supposed to get at that time. Let's not act like he was the only one. But now players are being paid like he was back in the day. So how long are you going to carry on this charade before you give this guy back what should have never been taken from him in the first place? You know, this whole notion of vacating things, vacating championships, vacating Heisman trophies. I mean, how lame is that? He had to vacate it. What, he didn't win it? It'd be like Michigan this year. What, they cheated? They didn't win the national championship? Really? Then why did Jim Harbaugh get a 15-0 tattoo on? Is he going to vacate that ink? Doubt it. That guy's like, whoa, juice, juice, it's Mike. It's Mike. Mike did it, not me, dude. Here's some of the reaction. Quote, That Juice audio is insane. That's actually him asking nicely for his stuff back. Ian in Chicago. You're right. You're right. Nobody's jugular vein got sliced. Nobody's head got lopped off. You're right. That is him being rational and asking nicely. Romy. Whoa, whoa, whoa. It was Mike. It was Mike. Regards Alvy during Prize Picks.
Dude,
sign Geoff and Lincoln. Whoa, 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 whoa. That was Mystery Mike's pick, not mine. All right, when we come back, I want your thoughts, though, on Reggie Bush. I can lay that out further. And I do have an NBA whip I want to get into last night's action. And Jarrah, I'm telling you, man, there's a fine line between an old owner starting to lose it and an old owner just trolling the hell out of all of us. And I really am having a hard time telling these days with Jerry Jones. Stay tuned.